So as we continue on our part two of, I'm tying this, refreshing maturity, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, if you'll turn there, that is the very last chapter that was written in this particular letter to the Corinthian church. And chapter 16, if you find 2 Corinthians, it's just before you get there. And kind of interesting. As we talk about, there's so many different things to address when it comes to maturity. But I thought this was the last, if you will, few paragraphs of a letter written. The last words, the last thoughts. And I thought as I read this and I was thinking about what was going on, I thought, this is talking to us about maturity and what it means. I'd like for you and I to take a look at that. Now, again, I'm not going to put all of this up on the slide, so you need your Bibles or turn your devices on. We have extra Bibles if you need them. But I'm going to start at verse 13. I'd like you to follow along, and I'm going to read through to verse 18. It says, "Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything with love. You know that Stephanas and his household were the first of the harvest of believers in Greece, and they are spending their lives in service to God's people. I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, to submit to them and others like them who serve with such devotion. I'm very glad that Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Archaicus have come here. They have been providing the help that you weren't here to give me. They have been a wonderful encouragement. They have been a wonderful encouragement to me as they have been to you. You must show your appreciation to all who serve so well." I want you to look at that and think. This is a word that is spoken that talks about these three men who were mature believers in Jesus and what they did and what was, if you will, affirmed about them. Now, the word starts off in verse 13. Be on guard. I mean, look at the information here. We're talking about you and I transitioning into spiritual adulthood. Here's what God wants for us, that you and I become adults spiritually and stop being children. Now, what does that mean? Well, be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be strong in the faith. Be courageous. Sounds like really Joshua here, and it's connected there. Be strong. Literally, that word in the Greek means stop being passive. It's the opposite of passive. And do everything with love. And if you will, this is really a contrast and a completion of 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, did as a child. But when I became a man, that's talking to all of us. When I became an adult, I put away childish things. There's something here about the Word of God talking about what it means to become an adult, a mature believer in Jesus. And there was something here that, and I got to tell you, this is talking to all of us. There isn't one of us that's excluded from this. However you see yourself, whatever season in life that you see yourself, let me tell you, this word is for you. I was thinking about all the different groups that we talk about. We got the millennials, the boomers, the busters, the builders, Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z. We have shakers, we've got hippies, and we got hip-hop. Those are all the groups that they've identified. Whatever group you're in, this is for you. It doesn't matter. Whatever you see, wherever you are culturally, economically, socially, here's what the Word of God is saying. That you and I are called to live a solid, unwavering commitment to Jesus and to be spiritually mature. And we see in this description of how much these men trusted Jesus. The idea here is Stephanas, who literally it says his entire household trusted in the Lord. And he's saying that this idea of not only trusting Jesus as Savior, but also as our Lord, is part of that process of becoming spiritually mature. And then he says something pretty exciting here, because he points out, and these men were the first fruits, or the first of what was going on in their region, identified as Greece at that time. Kind of exciting that a very powerful point is being made here. They received Jesus as their Savior, and then following that, they started giving to others, because that's what a mature believer does. And the idea of not only do they give, but they also bring a refreshing to others. There was something very powerful in what was being communicated here, and I want you to get this. I want you to see that they understood as they grew in Jesus that God came and saved them and changed their lives. And now they're responsible as mature believers to go out and start talking to others and start sharing Jesus with others. Start encouraging others, to strengthen others, to come to that understanding of what they received. Now, a first fruit would occur elsewhere. You know, God does an amazing work, and there's this harvest that takes place, and now you become a harvester. You know, there's something that happens in your life, and then you go out, and then you help others. That's why we're doing what we're doing. We're giving you and I a chance to listen, to live Jesus in our community, to become mature believers, to see growth and development take place. And you know how that happens? Getting out to Naval Avenue School and working, getting into the classrooms and working, being an usher and working. I mean, there are so many opportunities for you and I to mature in our faith and who we are and what God has for us. It says they're spending their lives in service to God's people. Okay, now that's part of the definition of maturity. It says, submit to them and others like them who serve with such devotion. And it talks about how, and here's what I love about this. Look what it says. It says, not only were they the first fruits, but then it says, they have been, these three men, have been providing the help you weren't here to give me. Now, it's interesting because when you look at the Greek construction there, get your Greek Bibles out and take a look at that, you will discover that they're literally filling in the gaps. They were doing something that was really significant. This was not a lightweight statement. This was a description of life and how they were living life. Now, what do I mean by that? Last week, have you ever taken a picture off your wall? Right? And then you got holes behind it? And you know why that picture was up there, right? To cover the holes. Well, I got to tell you, I learned, last week my wife asked me to take a picture down, and there were a lot of holes. Thank God for spackling paste. Can you say amen to that? I love this stuff. This is amazing stuff, right? You got a hole in the wall, and if it's small enough, you know, it's actually pretty simple. Even I can do it. If it's really big, you stuff it with newspaper, right? And then cover over it. Hope it works. That's what I do. So anyway, what you do is you take this, and you got a hole, and you just squeeze this stuff and just pack the hole, right? And then you let it dry. And then you sand it. And then you apply some texturizing so it matches the rest of the wall. And you let that dry. And then you paint it. And you let that dry. And then you go back. And it all disappeared. All the holes, there's no defect. Everything looks like it should if you've done it right. And it's all amazing. That's what these men were to the church. These were men who were in the life of the church who were really, and you can see this in the next slide, you can see this in the fact that mature Christians can be like spackling paste to the brokenness within the church. See, I want you to see something here. This is critical. I want you to see how when you are a mature believer, because the word says they have refreshed, in the New King James, they have refreshed my spirit as well as yours. So here is what I want you to listen to. If you are a mature believer in Jesus, you refresh others. Part of the evidence of your maturity is that when you hang out and you're around each other, that maturity does something absolutely amazing to others around you. You sort of fill in the gaps. You become spackling paste. And there is something of a maturity that brings about refreshing rather than exhausting. Let me tell you something. This is about when you hang out with a mature believer, you feel the refreshing. Just the other day, I went out to lunch with a friend and another pastor from Olympia. He and I spent a couple hours together. And I love it. We met at a restaurant. He walks up and he was so happy. He says, "Man, it is so great to see you." And I said, "No, it is so great to see you." And we just had this great greeting and we spent 2 hours together. And at the end of it, I said, "So, you know, how you feel?" And he says, "Man, I just feel refreshed. How do you feel?" "I feel absolutely refreshed." It was just fun. And I got to tell you, it was a challenging time. We were talking about some pretty serious stuff. But the time we were all done, I walked away thinking, "Man, I can't wait to do this again. This was refreshing." I got to tell you, there are couples in the life of this church, I just so look forward to being with them. Because I know when I'm with them, when Lois and I hang out with them, we go over to their house, we're having dinner with them, when we're all done, you walk away going, "That was refreshing." I was talking to a couple the other day who said, "You know what? I bought this house as a ministry to God's people and to others." And I got to tell you, you go to their home, and there, some of us just have homes like that. You walk in, you enjoy being there, and you walk out feeling refreshed. And you might have walked in broken, wounded, just devastated over things of life, but hanging out there just begins to change everything. It is my hope and mission to see more of that taking place in the life of our church, that we begin to recognize a ministry of maturing so that we can become refreshing to each other rather than exhausting one another. I mean, there's some people that you hang out with, and by the time you get done, you're tired. It is not refreshing. I got to tell you something. I just really believe that there's something that God wants to mature in the life of this church and many of us, because I believe that if we take maturity seriously, then I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be a sense of excitement when we see each other. There's going to be a sense of hopefulness. There's going to be that idea that when I'm around you, I mean, I had someone just new to the life of our church, and they were talking, this was a couple of weeks ago, and they said to me, basically, "Man, this is such a great place. Thank you, because I receive hope here." I said, "So tell me really how you feel. I mean, I really wanted to hear." And they even used the word, when I was done leaving at that service, I felt hopeful, and they even used the word, I felt fresh again in Jesus. Can you say amen to that? There's something very powerful about what God wants us to mature. So what is maturity? Man, it's just so simple, right? And yet, not always that simple. Spiritual maturity is the development and growth that comes by knowing His will, being in His Word, and doing the work that God calls us to. It is growing to the place of partnership with God. I want you and I to become a partner with Jesus, for real. I'm going to tell you something. I am passionate about this. I am convinced that life can change, things can be different, if you and I grow in maturing through His Word, His will, and the work of the Spirit of God. Even when you've blown life up, I believe there's still hope. Even though you've made perhaps the biggest mistake you can think of, and you might have done the worst thing you could imagine, I want you to know there is still hope in Jesus. It tells us that in the unity of common faith, but can I qualify that? I don't want you to think that's easy, though. You might have blown things up, but don't think it's going to get fixed in one day. Sometimes these things take a while. Sometimes you have to have a lot of patience. It may take years. Now, I know you don't want to hear this. Sometimes it takes decades. There's something about the work of God for the unity of common faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So it says here, we arrive at what? Real maturity. Not some kind of facade that I see so often in the church. Look, I'm passionate about this, but I am sick and tired of what's fake in the life of the church. People walk around because they think they have all this great knowledge, but when they don't have the sense of unity and they don't have what's common and they don't really function the way they ought to, and so it looks like, and they walk around like they got this maturity, but they are breaking things down. They're critical. They're harsh. Let me tell you, that is not the evidence of a mature believer. I want you to know something. When you've been around someone who's mature, you have a sense of refreshing that comes from being with them, even though it might be a challenging conversation. Just because you're having a challenging conversation doesn't mean you walk away like, you know, it's terrible. And so this is what the scriptures remind us. It says, for from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, what an amazing statement, should become like his son. Do you realize that you and I are the image bearers of Jesus? I mean, what a challenging thought to realize that wherever you go, you bear the image, you take with you Jesus, and who you are is communicated everywhere you go. And God says that's part of being a mature believer, is that when you go to work, you are the image of Jesus. You realize that for some people, that's all they're going to ever see of Jesus is you, how you are at work. And that ought to be challenging and refreshing. How you are at the store, who you are wherever you go shopping. At any event, all of a sudden, you and I realize that we are the representations of the very image of God to the community around us. I don't know, but when I think about that, that's kind of challenging. Because I gotta, like, behave. Isn't that a drag? You know, I mean, you've got to be careful about what you're doing, how you're acting. What doesn't mean you can't be human, okay, right? Are you with me on that? I'm not saying you got, like, somehow you can't have a human moment, but it's what you do with those human moments. I've come upon people who are just being human, and they feel, and they'll say, oh, I'm just so embarrassed. I say, don't be embarrassed. This is normal stuff. Kids do that. Don't worry about it. Relax. It's all right. But and I think that's part of what maturity brings into situations. It normalizes things that are normal rather than blowing them out of proportion like, oh my God, or becoming dramatic or histrionic about stuff that you should not be dramatic or histrionic about. It's about not putting things on Facebook. Did you guys get the report of that football player from Old Mississippi? If you didn't see this, what a classic. I did a lot of homework on it. I'll give you more later, but he was scheduled to be the number one draft point for the NFL. The number one draft pick of the entire thing. I think he's a defensive tackle or whatever he is, I don't know. At this point, like you said, I'll do anything. But he had put on Facebook a video and posted some comments were posted about things that he had done. And he went from number one down far lower. And here's what they said. I love the analysis. They said, probably that drop cost him between $12 to $20 million. His indiscretion thinking, and I love one of the commentators was on CNN. He said, you know, whenever you put something on Facebook, it's there forever. See, he was listening to one of my messages. Praise God. It is just crazy to think because, and here was the thing. He put that stuff out 2 years ago, and he even, there was some kind of something written. He thought that it had been erased. So, as a mature believer, you're very careful about what you... You know what? As a mature believer, you don't put stuff like that out. You shouldn't be doing it anyway, but you are very careful about what you say, how you act, what you do. So here's something I want you to understand about maturity. And as we look at it, it requires commitment. You and I need to be committed to do this. Look what it says here. You've been Christians for a long time now. Isn't it amazing, the Word of God? And you ought to be teaching others, but instead you need someone to teach you. When a person is still living on milk, it shows he isn't very far along in his Christian life. He's still a baby Christian. There's something kind of crazy about someone walking with Jesus for 10, 20, 30 years and they're still wearing diapers. It just doesn't look cool. And yet there are people still walking around with diapers on, like, because they have not yet grown up in Jesus. They have not yet matured in the Lord because they're not doing the things that they ought to be doing. That requires that. So commitment, it takes some commitment. Secondly, it takes work. It says continue to grow. The word to grow means working to in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. See, somehow, once again, we see stuff like we think, yeah, grace, that's right. Free grace, don't have to do anything. It's all going to happen automatically. All I got to do is just kind of show up every now and then, and it's good. That's not what this is saying. This is saying continue to grow, to work in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, there's some effort involved with it. You need to continue to work at it. And it's an entire lifetime of work. No one will ever arrive. I had someone the other day, a real conversation, someone kind of a little bit more mature in years, and they made this comment like, you know, I think I'm probably done now. I don't have to do stuff like this anymore. And I said to him, you are absolutely crazy. And we're friends. He said, okay, why am I crazy? Because you need to keep, now even more so. Because you have not yet arrived. You know that you'll never arrive. And there are some of us who get to this kind of crazy, arrogant place that we think we don't have to read the Bible anymore. We don't have to pray. We don't have to go to church. We don't have to go to small groups. We don't have to do any of these things because I've arrived. I've got it all together. I've got this thing figured out. That is what holds us back from maturing. So it requires work. And listen, it requires training. I love 1 Timothy. Take the time and the trouble, that's training, to keep yourself, there it is, spiritually fit. Man, you gotta, it's a workout. Being strong spiritually requires all these things that we're talking about. So when I think about the idea of becoming fit, and that's exactly what the word is talking about, it's just like how you would work out with weights and you want to get more muscles physically. The same thing happens spiritually. So what do we need to do? There are just a whole bunch of things, but some of them is, you know what? Submit and commit yourself to the Lord every day. Every day you wake up, you remind yourself, Jesus is in charge, you're not. That would be an ongoing kind of thing daily. Pray daily. You need to keep talking to God. Don't ever stop talking to God. That's an ongoing conversation. Read the Word of God every day. How are you guys doing with Hosea right now? What? Well, see, if you're doing your devotions, you're in Hosea right now. See, let me even know we're in Hosea right now. You think, well, I think I'm back someplace. What was that? Yeah, Ezekiel. So, listen, if we're doing this reading stuff together, everyone should go, yeah, Hosea, he's great. I'm right there with the prophet. Really appreciated what you wrote the other day, Pastor. You guys reading this stuff? No, you're not. See, I know how many people actually go into the site. I get a report of how many people are looking at the devotional site. Now, look, can I say this? Challenging. I love you. But it's pathetic how many of us are not going there. I'm hoping to see a sharp increase in the visitation of our devotional site. I want to challenge you. This is important stuff. We have got a bunch of people pouring their hearts out into these devotions. And I got to tell you, they are absolutely amazing. I love reading what is being written by all kinds of people in the life of our church trying to help you understand what God's speaking. And we're not taking advantage. See, a mature person gets in there because they realize it requires training and work, so they get in there and read that. Hang out with the right people. I got to tell you, there's something about if we're going to mature, you got to be around people who will help you be mature. And some of you are not hanging out with people who are going to generate maturity. And you got to pick very carefully. Put on the armor of God every day. Every day you should put on the armor of God. Don't ever go outside into that world without putting the armor of God on. And depend upon the Holy Spirit. Learn to bring the Holy Spirit into our lives. That is such a critical part. Listen to me. God wants you and I to mature as believers. He wants you and I, but listen, here, let me just add this one last piece. It requires a lifestyle. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. You have put off the old self with its habits, and you put on the new self, which God is continually renewing in his own image to bring you to a full knowledge of himself. All right, put off, put on. I want you to know, when you look this up, this verb is a linear Greek verb, which means it has a starting point and no ending point. You look it up in, again, your Greek New Testament or dictionary, you'll find that out. And what that means is that this is really saying you have and you are putting off, putting, ing, continuing the old self. You keep doing it with its habits, and you're putting on, you keep doing that, the new self, which God is continually renewing in his own image. In other words, this is something you keep doing till you stop breathing. Because there are things that are going to come into our life, we put it off. We take it off. Literally, the image here is like taking off a coat. You take off the old coat, put on the new coat. So you take off the old habits, put on the new habits. Take off the old kinds of things of living, the way you used to think, the way you used to, you know, live life, and you put on what's new. That's Jesus. That's the maturity of God. Are you with me on that? I am going to get you there. If I got to pull you into the courtyard myself. We're going to make this happen. See, some of you are really nervous right now. I am hungry to see this and hear the stories of refreshing. You know, you go over to Kevin and Jamie's house, and you come away going, man, that was so cool. They have two amazing kids. Their story is such a tremendous blessing. And you come away going, wow, I just heard about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
They're going, oh, please, no one else, don't come to me, Pastor. There's no obligation here, right? Right, Chaplain Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Gail. Yeah. Ginger's going, yeah, that's right, go away, Pastor. There's something about you and I coming to this place that we're willing to open our lives up and become that mature believer that refreshes others, tells the story, encourages, strengthens. I want you and I to be that. That's what it means to be part of a church. That's what it means to mature. That's what it means to grow. And listen, there's no other way to do this. I mean, if you come up with another way, which means you find another Bible, you know, let me know. But I'm going to tell you, it's not God's word. God set this up. He did it perfectly. It's done. Let's make it happen. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the clarity of your word. I want to thank you, God, for what you're speaking to us. We're reminded, Lord, how great you really are, how awesome you are, how amazing you are. And I pray, Lord, that we would take hold of this word and make the application. Lord, I pray that we would see more people becoming spackling paste around here, filling in the gaps. I pray, Lord God, for the transformation of some of us into adulthood as believers in Jesus. And for that, we thank you. God, Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can grow. Thank you, Lord God, that there is amazing, amazing hope and grace. For that, we thank you.